Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
This is the Bloody Disgusting Podcast Network.
Carry on and plan the sequel, because let's face it, baby, these days, you gotta have a sequel. Ah!
And welcome back to Micro Queers. It's your bi-weekly dose of queer horror shorts, and I'm Joe.
And I'm Trace, and welcome back, everyone. Some of y'all might have been wondering why we didn't have a new episode of Micro Queers last week, and just in case you missed our first episode of the year, we have gone bi-weekly with Micro Queers, so every other Friday you'll get a new episode.
Yeah, part of this is just that we didn't want to exhaust the amount of queer horror shorts that we have access to, although a quick little shout out to Michael Verratti for directing my attention to a few more, but also just, we're tired, so yeah. You know what? We're going to do this every other week, and we're going to make sure that the episodes stay good.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be really good. So, yeah, but this is an interesting short to be our sophomore feature of 2021, Joe.
Yeah, and we are talking about Monica Estrella Negra's Flesh. And, Trace, I won't lie, this is probably our most challenging short that we've covered so far.
It's very avant-garde.
Yeah. And okay, so I'll start by reading the logline, because I recognize that sometimes I didn't do that very well. So the film...
Go through this like synopsis for a bit.
So the film follows Ray, played by Esther Matthews Alegria, and she is a young Black queer woman in the DIY punk scene in Chicago. And she's feeling entrapped by her own community, so she seeks to destroy what ultimately is destroying her.
Yes, I will confess, I had to watch this twice. Okay. And Joe, you thankfully sent me over some interviews with Monica, and they definitely helped enlighten me on this, because I was very much like, oh my god, it's, I know you haven't seen it, but, like, the sound design, like, how, it's unsynchronized sound, how it's, like, we're seeing something on the screen, but then, like, mm-hmm. the sound that we're hearing is not matching up with what we're seeing on screen.
Yes, folks, we should note that there is actually a warning on the YouTube link, and we'll have made sure that we have given you proper warning, but just in case you happen to just watch the short before you listen to this and you didn't pay attention, there's a moment of asynchronous sound where the characters and the audio doesn't line up, and that is purposeful, but it's very much in the spirit of this short, which is it's confrontational, it's off-putting, it's making you feel slightly uncomfortable and like, oh, what is happening here? And it would be really easy to watch that and think, oh, there's a mistake here, like something's gone wrong with the soundtrack, and it's not. It's very deliberate.
Well, that's the thing, is, you know, I start watching this and I'm like, oh, this is really low budget, which is fine, mm-hmm. but I'm also like, oh, like at first I'm like, oh, this isn't really well made, but then as you keep watching it, you're like, oh no, this is all very much intentional.
It's so deliberate. Yeah, like, and I think that's what I really ended up enjoying about the short. I've actually had the pleasure of interviewing Monica, so full disclosure, she's one of the only queer Black female creatives that I could find when I was doing my interview project a couple years ago for my website, mm-hmm. and I just find her fascinating. So she is extremely counterculture. She does not like capitalism. She fucking hates the way that, like, white conglomeracy has, like, usurped and taken over the creative space for, like, Black people and queer people. So she really kind of wants to burn the system down. And I feel like if you know that about her and then you watch this short, you really get that But it would be so easy if you didn't have that background context to watch this and think, oh yeah, this is, you know, it's not very well made because it like sequences repeat and the snow doesn't match and this kind of stuff. And it's like, no, no, she did it on purpose.
No, I mean, I think after the first time it happens, like once it happens again, it's like, okay, like, no, this is not someone being willfully obtuse with filmmaking techniques here. This is someone who is like purposefully doing this to put us in the mind of her protagonist. I will say, and you know me, Joe, punk music and punk aesthetic is not it's not my favorite, so I did have a I was uncomfortable watching this because it's just very much out of my wheelhouse, but
yes,
I still like I appreciate what this thing is trying to do with this thing I appreciate what this short is trying to do. It's just it's a rough watch. I don't even know where to go from there.
Well, maybe we can focus on the fact that there's a couple of texts that get echoed when you start to do a bit of research on this short. So people will say that this is either like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer or Maniac. So it's like a queer black subversion of a serial killer trope.
Well, and I thought at first going into it that it was a type of rape revenge, but that is not what we're dealing with here.
No, this is very much a woman who feels at odds with her community and that she is, I mean, I think to me that's where the sound really comes into play. Like, I didn't know what to make of this short when I first watched it. And when I did the research and started looking at interviews with her, I was like, oh yeah, it's Clara's day. Like, here, I've got a quote here. So for the asynchronous sound, she says, "I wanted to convey the discomfort Ray feels while interacting with her oblivious friend. The non-syncing of the words, the white noise in the background, because that's what her friend is creating, the discomfort of not seeing the words match her lips, Ray's obvious silence as her friend's voice takes over on screen." And I really feel like that's the purpose of the short, right? It's this woman who just doesn't feel like she fits in. And if you think about Estrella Negra's like approach to thinking about how commodified spaces have become, the punk scene, right, but also the queer scene, the horror scene, this is a woman who is lashing out because she has nothing left to lose.
I mean, and these are conversations that, I mean, they've been happening for a while, but again, mostly like it's been really a lot more widespread since like the Black Lives Matter movement, like really, really like started hitting, like taking off. See, that sounds weird, but last summer. And they are conversations that have been, yeah, every single sect of what you're saying, like be it queer culture, horror culture, whatever, it's kind of hitting us all here, and it's forcing everyone to have a lot of uncomfortable conversations and also look at their history and like how they've interacted with people of color. I don't know, and like it's watching this as a white man, it's like I don't know, I feel like it like brings out like a lot of white guilt.
That's interesting. I mean, I've often, okay, how do we do this, right?
I know.
I think one of the things that I really love about watching films that are made from other communities is that not only can it be a confronting experience where we have to engage with, oh, what is it like when I am not necessarily the primary audience for this? And what does that feel like? But also, yeah, it, films like these put us in our place as white viewers and say, maybe you're not the right audience. Maybe this is about you and you need to be taking this personally. Like, I love how political this is, despite the fact that, like, someone could easily watch this, completely miss the point, and be like, that's just like a low-budget slasher.
Or just be like, oh, that was really weird.
Yeah, yeah, like... It's the power of art, man. Isn't that fascinating?
There's something that some of my friends and I like to joke about. It's like whenever a white person tastes like food that's just very, like, very, like, it's ethnic. It's not like typical, quote unquote, white food.
Interesting.
That's interesting. Or, ooh, that's different.
So different.
And so I just imagine people like watching this, like, yeah, that was different. That was a different kind of film to watch.
I do think the other thing that I like about this is that this feels angry to me. Like,
oh, yeah.
This is political art in the best way possible, but I like that it feels angry. Like, Ray as a character has so much rage boiling under her under her surface. And you can see it in the scenes where she's just like listening to people talk and she doesn't want to hear what they have to say. And she's watching her friend make fuck eyes at this stupid guy who shows up when they're having drinks. And it, like, she's just so mad about everything.
All the while she's just hearing white noise. Like, we're not even hearing this conversation because it doesn't fucking matter.
And just to make it crystal clear, like, white noise in both ways.
Oh, interpret it. Oh, I see what you did there, Monica. Good for you.
So I guess one of the other reasons that I wanted to program this specifically, you know, sometimes I try to match up the short with the film. In this case, I was like, cool, let's get some down and dirty murder. But really, the main reason I programmed this is because the short was previously not available. So it only became available over the holidays. So I've been meaning to watch it for ages, but it just wasn't.
Did it do film festivals, I'm assuming?
No, I mean, this is from like 2016, so it's been available for a long time. Just, you know, a lot of creatives don't want to make their work publicly available in its entirety. So you can sometimes only watch a teaser or a trailer for a short. So as soon as I saw that it was available, I wanted to get people's eyes onto this. So that's one of the reasons why we programmed this specifically now.
I mean, it's going to spark some discussions, I'm sure, both in, like, the meaning behind it and, like, honestly, actually, a question for you, too. What do you make of the ending of this? Does she just goes off on her way again to tackle the world?
I kind of took it to be that she's going to keep killing until she gets caught.
Yeah. That's, I mean, this is, like, you know, a slice of life, if you will, of her. And it's just, yeah, like, she's just going to keep doing it. Yeah. Rage against the machine.
Very much. And the machine in this case is white society and people who don't make the punk scene equitable.
Right. Now, would you watch a feature-length version of this?
So I did have a think about this since I watched this afternoon. My answer is no.
Okay.
But I would like to see a slightly longer version of this. So I get a very surface level appreciation for who Ray is. Like, I understand her motivation, but I don't know who she is as a character. Right. And I feel like with 5, maybe 10 minutes more, where we could just kind of unpack this, dive deeper into some of these scenes, like the scenes of her either getting her hair braided as a child or, you know, her seeing that in the environment, you're like, okay, there's some context clues, and maybe I'm just missing it because I don't know that aspect. Like, as a white person, we don't experience that kind of stuff. But I also don't know if it's just like, oh, this was financial, and maybe just with a little bit more money, a little bit more time, we could have fleshed some of these things out so that we could really feel the impact a little bit more. So I don't want a feature. I want like a 25-minute version of this.
I mean, this is going to make me sound like a complete asshole, but like, I couldn't... I could endure a feature like this because it's the style. It's just so, it's an assault on the senses. And I get the point of it and I get why it's like this. I just don't enjoy like being like, enduring it. It's like an endurance test for me. Like it reminds me a lot of, like, have you ever seen Tetsuo the Iron Man? I feel like I've asked you this before.
You have, and I haven't.
It's like my only reference point for like really weird, like art house type shit with weird sound. And that movie is an assault on the senses as well, but it's 67 minutes long. So, but it feels 3 times as long. It's a really good movie, but I have no desire to ever watch it again.
Well, I think this is very much the format suits the purpose, right? And it to make its point, it doesn't necessarily need to be feature length, right? Like what it's doing in 15, it's accomplishing well. For me, I want just a little bit more. For you, you're like, nope, I get it. 15 minutes is what it needed to get this point across.
Well, but on the flip side, though, you know, that's not like keeping it at this length is not going to put it in front of more people's faces if it's a feature-length film. Granted, though, if you keep this style, it's not going to be like a mainstream, like theatrical. I mean, well, it's COVID, but it wouldn't go to theaters normally because, yeah, it's I could see a studio looking at this and be like, it's quote unquote too weird, you know?
Oh, except I don't think that Estrella Negra would ever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that would be selling out, right? It goes counter to punk culture. So she'd be like, fuck the studios. I'm going to make this whichever way I choose.
Which, good for her.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, let us know what you thought of Flesh. Again, this was probably an interesting watch for a lot of you. So I'm really eager to see what y'all thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think on that note then, we can cross out flesh.
Yes, and cross out microqueers.
Disgusting Podcast Network, home of creepy, disturbing, and terrifying creepypastas, SCP archives, weekly full cast storytelling, horror queers, genre commentary from an LGBTQ perspective, and the Boo Crew, horror-centric interviews. Listen free wherever you stream audio and at bloodydisgusting.com/podcasts.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.